The name of the book is Monument 14, Sky on Fire. Emmy Laybourne, welcome back to the Roundtable.
It is a delight to be here, Katie.
Now, the one thing about Monument 14, I mean, you really get into the nitty gritty of what the human condition is, especially for teenagers and kids. And now with Sky on Fire, I mean, this book was intense.
Thank you. That's just what I hope you would say.
How is that writing process for you? I mean, as a reader, I had to put the book down. And it's not a long book, but I had to, every about 15 minutes, I just have to put it down because I just felt so tense and thinking, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? I have to wait a couple minutes and just breathe.
The writing process for these books is very harrowing, honestly. I have a ritual every day. I sit down at the same time to write. I sort of do the same things. I take off my wedding rings. I put on hand lotion. And then I sort of engage with the keyboard, and this story poured out of me. And it was very scary. It's a scary story. And I kept being surprised as I wrote by the severity of the things that would happen to the kids. One of the real challenges in this series has been to keep the story real. I wanted to tell a story that took the reader into a dark and exciting world, but I also wanted to just to make sure that everything was really grounded in reality so that you felt like this could happen. This could happen. And if I was in the situation, I might do the same thing that these kids are doing. So that challenge in Monument 14, when the kids in the story of Monument 14 are contained in the superstore during almost all of the action of the book. In Sky on Fire, some of them stay behind, and then a different party, a smaller group, sets out to try to get to safety in Denver. So in Monument 14, the kids didn't really know very much about what the state of the world was outside the store, but in Sky on Fire, I had to create that world in detail. And that challenge was to keep it scary, keep it moving fast, but keep it real, keep it grounded. So that was something that I was really conscious of every day when I was sitting here getting into my writing process.
And the outside world is absolutely scary. And for the group of children that have, or kids and teenagers that have gotten on this bus to try to make it to Denver International Airport, where they hear that there's a drop zone so that they can be shipped to a safe place. But at the same time, we have Dean and Astrid and a couple of the other kids still at the superstore, but they're getting a glimpse of what's happening on the outside world because more and more people are finding out that there are actual survivors in this superstore and they want in too, which is, that's just as scary as being out there and facing these people one-on-one versus just hearing their voices on the other side of a gate.
I think so. I think that just in the timeline of the crisis that I've created, by the time Sky on Fire starts, it is 12 days after the hailstorm that strands the children in the superstore. And so they've been in there for 12 days, and outside an earthquake has caused a breach of a chemical weapons storage facility at NORAD. And so now the air is very dangerous, and they can't go out, especially the kids who are trapped in the store during Sky on Fire, because they have a blood type that reacts to the air and makes them turn into monsters who want to kill and destroy. So locked in the store, the kids are interacting with a population now that's been, all the food is gone. That for 12 days, there's been looting and rioting and mayhem outside as the population of Monument has sort of torn itself into shreds. And now the kids inside the store, now people are coming and trying to break in.
The way that you've written both groups, whether it's Dean in the store and or his brother Alex with the other group who have gone out into the world trying to make it to the pickup zone, there's an internal struggle and the internal process going on of whether or not to accept their fate of where they are or remain hopeful that they will find help, whether it's at the Greenway or at one of the drop zones so that they can tell the other people that there's another group of us, there's another group of survivors that need help as well.
Yeah, to me, that's really the central theme of this series, is that no matter how dark things get, that these kids can look inside and find hope. And at sometimes that hope is easy for them to find, and at other times it's really hard. And I think one of the most gripping sequences in Sky on Fire, the children who are trying to make their way to Denver, without giving away too many spoilers, the kids who are on the road are trapped by someone who wants their supplies, and they really think that they're living their final moments. And when I wrote that, it was very moving, and I really didn't know what they were going to tell me. I didn't know what these characters were going to say at the moment when they thought they were about to die. And I was so moved by the hope that I found. Their words to me. I know that sounds crazy, but I do feel sometimes like I'm taking dictation from these kids. And what I heard them saying was that even at the end, there was hope for them.
These kids are a part of your family. I would only, especially if you're writing three books with them,
yes.
You can only assume that you hear their voices in your head and they help guide you.
Yeah, I've spent so much time with these kids. Monument 14 took me 2 years to write, and Sky on Fire and Savage Drift, which is the third book, each took me a year, which isn't that long, but I have been living with these kids for 4 years, so I know them very well. And I like to joke that I'd actually like to start the series over and write it all from the point of view of Max, one of the first graders.
I'm so glad
he has
you
a way
said
with.
That.
Oh yeah, he's got this crazy way of telling a story that's very funny. So I might just do that.
Well, there's this one line that I'm staring at right now, and Max has just told a story to his aunt, and she says, "Well, I don't understand what that means." And he says, "It means stick with the dog you know, Aunt Jean. Stick with the dog you know." And that pretty much just summed up how well all of these kids work together as a unit and how much they depend on each other and have become that family for each other.
Thank you. That's the nicest thing you could have said, honestly. That is what happens to them. They do become a family. And at several times in Sky on Fire, people offer to take one of them or two of them or help them, or that one kid should stay behind in safety while the rest go forward. And every time the kids are like, no way, we are sticking together.
Right. It's all or nothing.
Yes, absolutely.
Which I know we talked about this the last time we spoke, by having your characters be teenagers and children, it definitely lends for, I think, a more cohesive dynamic than if it were all adults. I mean, we saw what happened in Monument 14 when adults came into the Greenway, and we also see what happens when there were older people, whether they're young adults or people in their 30s and 40s, and how the dynamic is changing or could potentially change, and how much more in danger these kids are by having an adult who thinks they know better.
Yeah. That wasn't entirely intentional. I didn't mean for all of the adults who come to get the kids into more trouble. And as the series progresses, there are adults who come into their lives and come back into their lives who are helpful and do have moral integrity that the children can latch onto. But the object of Monument 14, in terms of the kids and their dynamic, was to really give them a new world to create. I've been reading a little bit about post-apocalyptic literature, and I read this wonderful article that supposed that one of the reasons why we like post-apocalyptic literature and why teenagers like it is that when you're a teenager, in order to realize who you are and to step forward into that new self, you have to kill off the world of your parents in a way, and that's what post-apocalyptic literature does, that it destroys the world we know so that the central character can step forward into a new world that they have to make themselves. And that really blew my mind, because I totally see that happening with Monument 14. This is like these kids from all different aspects of school, from different cliques, are thrown together, and wildly different ages, too. These kids are from age 5 to 18. They're thrown together, and their world is destroyed. It is leveled. And then they have to find a way to create a new society and decide what the rules are and how it's going to go.
That also blows my mind to think about. It's more than just stepping up to the plate, but it's finding out who you truly are on the inside to help move everybody forward.
That's right. it was exciting to me as I went on writing this series to find the way that the kids actually are shaping each other's personalities. This, if you look at this as a coming-of-age story for 14 kids, a simultaneous coming-of-age story for 14 characters, they're all bouncing off of each other and pushing each other into making better decisions, I think, by the end of the series.
I agree with you. And when you say that, I just think of the twins, Caroline and Henry, because they're so innocent, but at the same time, they're uncannily intuitive, and they just know exactly what the older teens need to keep moving forward, to say, it's okay, we're going to get through this, but they do it in the most wonderful and most innocent way.
Thank you. Caroline and Henry are based, I think, on my son Rex, who is 6 years old, who has an uncanny gift for saying the right thing at the right time. And there's a vision that really young children have, I think, into the divine that is very moving. We were once out to dinner at a pizza place, and I brought a Mad Libs just to pass the time. And so I, you know, before the food came, and so I asked Rex for a part of the body to write down in my Mad Libs, and he said, the soul.
Wow.
So great. So it wound up being like, you know, Wacky the Clown put the pickles on his soul.
Oh my, that just seems so much more deep than just saying your arm.
I know, isn't that great? Soul, I like it that he thought it was a part of the body.
Absolutely. Well, this book, as the first one, Monument 14, is absolutely incredible, and I can't wait for the third one. The name of it is Monument 14, Sky on Fire. Emmy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Katie. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.